Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10 and 14 through 16. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again, dear fellow redeemed. This morning we're concluding our study through Paul's letter to the Galatian Christians by looking at portions of his last chapter, chapter 6. He had told these Galatian Christians that they were bewitched by false teachers who told them that they're saved not only by faith in Christ, but also by keeping the law. Having urged these Galatian Christians to hold fast and to stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, where alone there is salvation, Paul now concludes by saying, let this gospel motivate you. Let the gospel bring forth fruits in your life. And that'll be as natural as a good tree bringing forth good fruits. In fact, that's what our theme this morning tells us. Doing good comes naturally for Christians. Now we need to carefully and correctly understand that theme so it doesn't say more than it does. Does doing good come naturally for Christians because we are naturally good? No. Paul would say, God forbid. Does doing good for Christians come naturally because we're better than others? Again, Paul would say, God forbid. Doing good comes naturally for Christians because God has created us to do good. And that's our first point. It's one of the purposes that God put us here on this earth. To serve Him and to serve one another. And so our theme, within the theme this morning is this: make the most of every opportunity you have to serve God and to do good to others. This morning we're going to begin at the end and then go to the beginning. So we'll look at verses 14 through 16. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. What motivates and empowers us to be concerned and care for our fellow human beings and to love God and do good to all people? Not our own goodness. We have none. But the goodness of Christ, which is seen in his sacrifice upon the cross. Again, Paul writes, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that Paul so eagerly boasts in the cross of Christ is because through the cross of Christ, this world has been put to death to him. We've died to sin. Our old sinful nature is put to death in the cross of Christ and is powerless in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The new man in us, the Spirit ruling in our hearts, we live in this world, but we're not of the world. We don't belong to the world. We belong to God. We can live this way because we live under grace. The reason we as Christians do good to others is because we're dead to sin and we're made alive in Christ Jesus. What an amazing statement of humble faith Paul makes in this chapter. This powerful, mighty man of God who shook the world through his missionary trips and preaching the gospel says that he is nothing. And that Jesus is everything to him. The child of God glories in the fact that it's alone through Jesus that we are what we are, forgiven and redeemed, and that we do what we do, love God and serve others. And that's not from the law. Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Our doing good doesn't come from the law and the demands and commands of the law, but from the new creation that God has made of us through the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Paul concludes the section by saying, as many as walk according to this rule. Uh-oh. What rule? Is Paul introducing commands again? Rules? Laws? He's going back to chapter 5, verse 6, where he said that faith works through love. As many then as walk in faith, working through love, will have the mercy and peace of Christ in their hearts. The peace of God which passes all human understanding. The peace that announces to us that we have full forgiveness alone by God's grace, which is through Jesus for his sake. And Paul says, this peace and this mercy is for the Israel of God. And he's not talking about the nation of Israel. He's not talking about just Jewish people. He's talking about all believers in Christ. All those who believe in Christ are Abraham's descendants. All believers in Christ are the real Israel of God. So we jump back now to the middle of our section, verses 7 to 9. We see that Paul says that we who are of the Spirit will want to sow and plant according to the Spirit. We read, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Many people think that they can pull the wool over God's eyes. They can deceive him by mocking him, outwitting him, but as Paul says, even though we can't see God, he sees and knows everything we think and say and do. So if we think say and do things to the flesh, Paul says, you will reap destruction. Paul warns, do not be deceived. But the child of God has been recreated to the Spirit for another purpose, to sow and to plant according to the Spirit and do what is pleasing to God for the glory of God and for the welfare and the furthering of His kingdom. Sowing to the Spirit then can only be done by those who have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have the assurance of everlasting life. But Paul realizes that this doing good, this living for Christ, though it is natural for the new man who lives in the Spirit, it is tiring. It is also hard and completely unnatural to the old man, the sinful flesh. And so Paul encourages the Galatians and encourages us, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, as we grow older, when we look around the world and we see evil as well as the good, sometimes we start thinking, what's the use? We look at evil people and they seem to flourish. They seem to have a carefree life. They don't care about God and they seem to have everything they need in this world. And sometimes we think like the prophet Asaph, when Asaph wrote, this is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. But Paul gives a good reason to not weary in doing good. Do not weary in walking in Christ Jesus. He says that you will reap blessings in due season. Reap everlasting life. Reap perfect pleasures and joy forevermore. We now go back to the beginning, verses 1 through 6. Paul in detail tells these Galatians what are some of these good deeds, good works that they can walk in now towards others. We read verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. The first fruit of faith that Paul enunciates here in our text is that of restoring one who is overtaken any trespass. The word overtaken here means one who is overtaken by surprise. Paul's not talking about those who willingly, knowingly, intentionally live in sin and rejoice in the fact that they're living in sin, but the child of God who suddenly overtaken by his sinful flesh falls into sin. He says, now restore that one. How? Not in a legalistic, demanding, judgmental, impatient, and inconsiderate way, berating them and saying, you better repent and do it now. But Paul says, in gentleness, in an evangelical way, lead them to see their sin and be firm. And when the Holy Spirit works repentance in their heart, then give them that glorious good news of full and free forgiveness alone through Jesus Christ. The term restore there is really a surgical term for the careful, skillful, yet firm setting of a broken bone. So when you take that term together with in the spirit of gentleness, it suggests the forethought, the love, the concern that we have for a fallen brother or sister who has been overtaken in a fault, and how we try to lead them and restore them back to Christ. Of course, the restoring is not done by us. done by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul mentions considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. One of the temptations when we're restoring someone who has fallen into sin is trusting in ourselves. Well, I, by my winning personality, by my suave persuasion, by my tactfulness, will just lead him back to Christ. That won't happen. Or we may say, I've never done that. I need to save this person because I'm much more spiritual than they are. I'm better because I haven't fallen into that sin. And so Paul says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We're all the same by nature, lost and condemned in sin. Without Christ, we are nothing, and we can do nothing. And so instead, Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We comfort those who are spiritually in trouble by helping them to see their sins, praying for the Holy Spirit to work repentance in their hearts, announcing forgiveness of sins to them in Christ Jesus, and then praying the Holy Spirit leads them to bring forth fruits of faith. Instead of comparing ourselves with others, Paul says, but let each examine his own works or actions. We should compare ourselves to the law of perfect love. Compare ourselves to Jesus. And then we'll see that we all fall short of the glory of God. We also then see that many of our works are motivated not by love, but sometimes by selfishness, sometimes by vainglory, sometimes by conceit. We also realize that whatever good we're led to do, God receives all the glory. It's done for the welfare of His name and the glory of His kingdom. Paul wrote, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He also says in our text here that each one shall bear his own load. Responsibility and accountability for my life is only borne by me. We should bear each other's burdens. We can't bear each other's responsibilities or their accountability. That is mine. That is yours. That's why Paul writes in Romans 14, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. A second fruit of faith that Paul mentions in our text section here is verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The Lord through Paul wrote that everyone who is taught the word of God should share in all things with the one who taught them the word of God. Share in all good things, Paul says. And that doesn't just mean physical things, like paying your pastor or your teacher. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Yes, we have to provide physically for those who preach and teach the gospel message, those who committed themselves and their life to the word of God. But it also means spiritual encouragement and love and support and honor and respect. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, and we urge you, brother, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Paul has one last encouragement then in regard to our life of doing good in our fruits of faith, and this is a sweeping, covering everything that we do in this life. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. This expands our doing good beyond restoring the one who's fallen to sin, beyond helping out physically and praying for your pastor and your teacher. This includes loving and doing good to your enemies. For all involves both friend and foe alike. Jesus told us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for them who spitefully use you. The believer in Christ has been placed on this earth for a very specific purpose. And so, as we said earlier, let's make the most of opportunity to serve God and to do good to all people. This service, love, and respect should be given to all, regardless of race, nationality, religion, sex, social status, or any other class distinction. Our Lord was the perfect example of one who broke down the walls of racism and bigotry and hatred between classes of people. He walked and talked and ate and drank with known sinners, with Samaritans. And he always did so in order to bring them to repentance and make them a part of his kingdom. So also, our doing good for others should always be for that same purpose. To lead others to the power of the Spirit to repent of their sins, and to the power of the Spirit to be made members of his kingdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul then concludes this section by saying, doing good especially to those who are of the household of faith. We as adults know that we also have responsibility toward our neighbors. But as parent adults, our first responsibility is to our children. So as Christians, we too have responsibility to a society. But our first and foremost responsibility is to those who are the closest to us, of our faith and of our fellowship. And that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And again, he writes in Romans 12, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." But as in any family unit, so also in the church and congregational family unit, there can be hard feelings between members. People may hurt one another by what they say or what they do. There are some who always want their own way, feel that their ideas are always the best, they're always right, or some who are just unfeeling and uncaring. And we are included in that list. It's then that we need to turn to the Lord in repentance, seeking his forgiveness and the love, to be able to turn away from our selfish, self-centered actions and love and motives, and in truly caring, loving way, serve one another. In closing, let's let the Apostle Paul once more speak to us about this whole matter of fruits of faith and loving one another, but from a different epistle, from his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering," which means patience, "bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.